Sarah's glad to be home. She drifted. Now listen to this, because some of you guys have got kids that you're raising in the ways of the Lord. And train them up in the ways of the Lord, right? Proverbs 22:6. And when they are older, they will not depart. They might depart when they're a little younger. And for a while, as we pray, we have prodigals. And we pray for them. And she got away for a number of years. She was in ministry for a number of years. Got away. And 4 years ago?
Lasted years.
She came back. And now she's in ministry full on with her husband. And we thank God for what he's doing. Restoration. I've got another daughter that is in ministry and one that is not, and one who is another prodigal that we have. And then I have my son who was raised in a Jewish home, who was put up for adoption, who we're praying for in Frisco. And I've taken to Israel twice. And he calls. He just called the other day. And it's great, the relationship that we have. And we're praying for him to come to the Lord. We're in devotions, and you know, devotions is something that I think is very important. I've been taking our staff in every Thursday. We have about a half an hour devotional time. We're taking through the Psalms, and then we pray together as a staff. And I think that's important that we have those times together with our staff and just praying together, seeking the Lord together. We've gone through Psalms. Now we're in Proverbs. We'll go back to Psalms and just keep going back and forth because those are two key portions. And so this morning we're going to be in Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And isn't it interesting that Psalm 23 is right after 22? And do you know what Psalm 22 is all about? The Messianic Psalm? The cross of Christ? I mean, isn't that, that's just so right. Because going to the cross, sacrifice, you know, and giving ourselves to the Lord and dying on that cross. And then entering into all that He has for us. This is one of the greatest psalms. One of the greatest scriptures in the Old Testament, it's been said, of this psalm, Psalm 23. There is a great book that this brother wrote. It's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And I know some of you old guys, in fact, 1 year we gave it to you. You know, it was given out to everyone. It's a book by Philip Keller that I believe is very much to be a part of our libraries. If you don't have it, please go to the chapel store and get it and get into it and read it because it is rich. This man was a sheep rancher in East Africa. For a number of years, he understood the whole aspect of sheep ranching, you know, the phase of sheep management and all the phases that go into managing sheep. And he says to know this psalm is to appreciate our shepherd's endless effort towards us as his flock. And I want to bring it to this place because of who we are in here this morning. Under shepherds, okay? A better understanding of how much he loves us and how much he wants us to love the flock that he's given to us. So listen to this insight. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, David says. I shall not want. The Lord. And who is the Lord, creator of all things? He is my shepherd. And I like the personal pronoun he uses. Individually, our shepherd, as we make him Lord of our lives, Lord of our hearts. We've been talking a lot about that this conference, letting him rule and reign in our hearts. David, who was a shepherd, needed the great shepherd. I appreciate that insight. Here he was, a shepherd, thinking he could have done it all himself, but no, he calls on the great shepherd. I love what Isaiah says of our great shepherd in Isaiah in chapter 40 and verse 11. He says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. I love the Lord's treatment of us. And yet he says, you that are heavy laden and down with burdens, come on. Come unto me. Give it to me. Let me rule and reign in your life. He says, My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And I know many of you maybe came here just, well, really under it, really carrying a burden. Things not going your way back at home with the flock and with what's going on. And you came with this burden. And yet the ministry is not to be of that, a heavy yoke, a heavy burden. We know what Josiah did, and he said, the Ark of the Covenant will no longer be a burden on your shoulders. Set it down. God never wanted us to carry a burden. He wanted us to rejoice. He wanted us to enjoy the ministry that He has given to us. And He said, lay the ark down. It shall no longer be a burden on your shoulders. And He began to give instruction to the priests. He began to instruct them in the ministry. And He began, it says, to encourage them in the work of the ministry. As far as I know, that was the first body ministry. And just starting spreading things around. Don't take it so serious. Don't take it so upon yourself where you're wiping yourself out. Spread it around. Let the Lord use the body ministry. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, you don't have to turn there, but God looks at David's heart. You know the story, how all the seven brothers were all buff and they went before Samuel, and there was not one of them found to be the one that they were going to anoint king. And he said, don't you have another son? And, oh, well, yeah, there's this guy, this kid out. I got a kid out there. You can, you know, maybe, I don't know, he's a shepherd boy. And we know the story. And in fact, when it says he's my youngest, it means that he was the least in his father's house. He was so least, he wasn't even there when Samuel came in. That's how least he was. And, you know, you can bring him in. And as soon as they brought little ruddy David in, you know, Samuel knew that this is the one. And God does look at the heart, doesn't He? He doesn't look on the stature. He doesn't look on the vocabulary. He doesn't look on, you know, just the way you move your body or whatever. He looks at your heart. He looks at my heart. He looked at David's heart and he said, you got a heart that's different than all these guys. You got a heart that I want. You got a heart like my heart. Of course it was like his heart. Because before Samuel even came, God had already poured out His Spirit upon David, preparing David. It wasn't David's heart, it was God's work in David's heart. And it was an awesome work. David was chosen. David, who out there killed the lion and the bear, who had preparation for ministry. He cared for the flock. He loved being a shepherd. And he said, my heart is fixed on Thee, O Lord. On Thee, O Lord, alone my heart is fixed. To fix our hearts upon the Lord. The oil was poured out upon David. The Scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray, each one to our own way. I think that's very interesting. Jesus calling us all sheep. Now, if you remember in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, Jesus came out and He saw the multitudes that they were going astray and they were just, you know, doing their own thing. And He had compassion on them, didn't He? Because He said, they are sheep without a shepherd. And then He says, behold, the harvest. So He looked at the people and He didn't see people. He saw sheep going astray. He saw a harvest. And I think that's a hint for us that we also need to look through His eyes. We need to see the sheep that are without a shepherd. We need to see the harvest that's out there and begin to ask the Lord to help us to go. So sheep are like people. They have mob instinct. They are very fearful. I mean, you can cause a stampede very easily. Just a rabbit running into the midst of them cause them to stampede. They are very stupid. They're stubborn. They got perverse habits. They can't take care of themselves. Without a shepherd, they're dead. They're history. So they can't do it themselves. There's a big difference between, I believe, the Lord's sheep and Satan's sheep. Don't you? Satan's sheep are just out there with those big eyes and they're skinny. They're without food. They're without direction. They got bad water to drink. There's no pasture. There's parasites all over them. It's an ugly sight as they're left alone to fend for themselves. The fence is broken down. They're going everywhere. And yet we know that the Lord's given us a direction as under-shepherds. I love what Jesus said to Paul in Acts chapter 26. He said, Paul, I want you to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. I love that, because that's God's direction for us as under-shepherds. His sheep, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. They'll have no want. Their every need is taken care of. He says, I'm there to meet their needs. And yet, we look around today and we see a people, a nation that are deceived. And a church that even Jesus said in Revelation 3, he talked about them. He said, you say that you are rich. You have need of nothing. You have everything that heart could want. And you've got your big church and you got this and you got that. But I say unto you, God's view of the church today, I say unto you, you are poor and miserable and naked and wretched. You've been deceived. He says, buy of me gold, try it in the fire. And so what is the key? The key is commitment, is contentment. So we need to commit our lives to the Lord. We need to say, Lord, search my heart. I don't want to get caught up in this modern day church, you know, just thing. And that last day church that is going to be judged by the Lord. As under shepherds, we're to deal with issues in our flocks. And there are things that we don't like to deal with. We don't like to confront a lot of times. And yet there are fence crawlers. There are those that are carnal Christians. They have a lot of wants. And they're discontent. And they continue to cause discontentment in our flocks and with our fellowship. Always thinking there's greener pastures and this is what I need, that is what I need. And yet we're there to calm them. We're there to direct them as best as we can in the Lord with the Word of God. I love what the story that this guy puts in Philippi. He adds this little story of the best ewe that he ever had. And was a beautiful ewe. It threw beautiful lambs and it was strong. It was, you know, prize winning, okay? But this ewe kept on thinking that there was something greener through the fence. Always getting out, always finding the hole. And it was okay as long as, you know, through the summer he dealt with it as much as he could. He had to go out and find it all the time. And sometimes the ewe thought that the grass was greener, yet ended up on the beach and it was funky. It was brown and no good. And found him out there. But then when he started, or she started to lead the lambs out there, and then other of the sheep, that's when he started to get concerned, because this one ewe is causing trouble throughout. I've got to deal with this. What do I do? And finally, he realized that he took his knife and he went out and he had butchered the ewe, because the ewe was causing all the lambs to go. And it had to be done. We don't like confrontation, but we do need to love the sheep enough to confront and to deal with issues that are upsetting all of the flock. Back in Psalm 23 in verse 2, he says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Paul said, As I have received, so I have given unto you. Again, reminded of doing that which is needful for us, sitting at our Lord's feet, preparing through prayer and the word, the feast, the meal that is to be given out. We are first to receive, and then we give out what we have received. And I know this, that sheep will not lay down unless there is food there, unless there's the pecking orders dealt with, the danger of predators and insects is all dealt with. Remember the bumper sticker? I think it's still around. I've seen it around. In fact, we had license plate covers up for it, and it said, Calvary Chapel, where the sheep love to eat. Remember, and Brian was talking about, you know, that is it going to continue that way? Is it going to be a place where the sheep love to eat? Or are we going to get off on weird things and get away from distinctives, huh? And all of a sudden the sheep, where the sheep are dying. I don't think they'll make that bumper sticker though. Where the sheep love to eat. So Paul said, follow me, I'm following Christ. I'm going after the things of the Lord. We can only lead our flocks as far as we have been led ourselves, right? Lord, lead us. Break us. Give us the heart of a shepherd and lead us in those ways. And then he says, the green plush pastures. I love that. All the feeding, all the blessings, and the water, the still waters. Then I'd like to just include this, the living water. Oh, how we need that living water. If any man thirst, Jesus said, let him come unto me. To be immersed in the Spirit. You know, to have that overflow of God in our lives and through our lives to the congregation. How we need to go to the well twice as much with a bigger bucket, right? And just really seek the Lord with our whole hearts. You know, we didn't do this for a while. We had kind of believers' meetings in the home studies, and we encouraged them to lay hands on the sick and to lay hands on those that want the baptism of the Holy Spirit and just let the gifts flow in the home studies. But it wasn't within the main congregation. And so just recently, about 6 months ago or so, we brought in a believers' meeting on another night and just started to move in the gifts. And there's only about 100 gathering, but it's a beginning, and we need that. There needs to be a place for that. And we should not get away from the things of the Spirit and get so, you know, where we're just laying down a word and not have those times of waiting upon the Lord. Verse 3, David goes on and he says, he restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In Psalm 42:11, David cried out and said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? There's something about a cast sheep that is so horrible, but restored, it's so beautiful. He's the good shepherd. And he comes in, and at times like this, getaways like this, conferences like this, he sees that you're in the world, and yes, we pick up dirt, but he's a good shepherd, and he's got these huge, great shears that he just takes you and flips you over and shears it off a little bit. And the restoration that is going on in here has just been incredible as God has been our shepherd. And he's trimming us, getting us ready to go back and just cutting the worldliness and dealing with our hearts in those areas that he cuts deep with his word. To walk in righteousness, that's why he cuts this stuff off so we can walk. A cast sheep is turned over. It can't get back up unless the shepherd flips it back up. It'll just sit there and go, bah, bah. And it'll die that way. Sometimes they won't even, you know, bleed. You know, they won't even cry out. They'll just sit there and struggle. It's a horrible thing. Oh, to be led by the Spirit, to have a heart for righteousness and holiness. It's a great work that God has called us to. Zerubbabel, you need to be encouraged. It's not by your power. It's not by your might. But it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I love it because it's getting right back to us. We can't do it. It's His work in us and through us. And then verse 4, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Trials and tribulations. We know a little bit about those things, huh? Any of you walked through the valley of the shadow of death? Some of you have. Physically, spiritually maybe. You're right there at the brink. But trials and tribulations. Paul says we glory in them. James says we joy in them. And the three kids in the furnace, those Hebrew kids, they were having a great time in the midst of the fiery furnace. Why? Jesus was there. And when they were called out, because they wouldn't come out themselves, they had to be called out, they were enjoying it. How do you enjoy it in the fire? Well, is Jesus there? You'll enjoy it. And when they came out, what was burned? Only the binds on their hands. That which binds us. Lord, you use trials to set us free, that we can move in your Spirit. And then when the three Hebrew kids came out, where was Jesus? He was in the fire. He's always in the fire. It's the place that, it's a walkthrough. We're walking through this valley. Don't think it's permanent. It's just a walkthrough. We do a walkthrough in our church where we go around with the maintenance guys and pastors and we walk around, we just take care of things and we walk through the church. And that's what it is. It's just a walk through. And he's walking through with us. It says in the scripture in in Psalm 16, in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In Acts 4:13, they marveled that Peter and John, you know, they couldn't believe that here they are, you know, ignorant, not knowledgeable men as far as the world goes. But they noticed that they had been with Jesus. There's something about being with Jesus that gets us through it and also ministers. It's because we hung around with Him. Who are you hanging around with? It'll rub off on you. And then I like the staff and the rod for protection and correction. The staff is interesting. It's for comfort to lead the sheep. Yet I found a scripture over in 2 Samuel 23:21 that I thought was very interesting. It says that, this is David's mighty men, they slew an Egyptian. This one guy slew an Egyptian. Egypt, of course, is a type of the world. A goodly man, strong, great countenance. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff, and he plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. So again, the staff can be used as a weapon. What is the staff? The staff is walking through this world as a pilgrim. We're just aliens, man. It's an attitude, isn't it? The staff. And as we have that staff, that attitude, we're crucified to the world as the world is crucified unto us. And then verse 5, he says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Thou preparest a feast in the midst of the enemy, that we're to feed the flock. Ezekiel says, don't be like those false shepherds in Ezekiel 34 that don't feed the flock but feed themselves, consume it upon themselves. But no, that we would set out a feast. And when we do set out the feast, and when we do seek the Lord, we're going to be like David with Saul. As soon as David made his intentions clear, Saul was on him quicker than that. So the enemy comes in. Comes in sometimes like a flood, doesn't he? But the Lord raises up the standard. Peter, Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan wants to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you. Jesus is praying for us, that our faith would not fail, and that when we're truly converted, we will strengthen our brethren. I love that. He's roaming around, seeking whom he may devour, our adversary, looking for the weak ones, looking for the ones that aren't getting into the standard. What is the standard but the Word? Staying in the Word. What is the standard but communion, which we're going to have this afternoon? What is the standard but fellowship and prayer? What a feast that has been set before us this conference. It's just, again, confirmation. We need to take it back home. And then notice he says, And thou anointest my head, verse 5, with oil, and my cup runneth over. Oil is always symbolic of the Holy Spirit, poured upon the sheep's eyes. And I like this because parasites are crucial. I mean, they will rip out a whole flock and nothing flat as they get into the ears and plant the larvae and the nose, and the sheep just go nuts. But the shepherd puts oil upon their ears and their eyes. Over in Job says, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? We've been talking about that. We need to watch it. Lord, your spirit upon my eyes and my ears to ward off parasites, temptations, and so we would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're crucified unto this world. Paul talking about that filling of the Holy Spirit, what the will of the Lord is in Ephesians. He made it very clear that once we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always. Paul had a grateful heart to the Lord. David had a grateful heart to the Lord. He was grateful. So the overflow of God. See, there is the indwelling of the Spirit. There's the overflow of the Spirit. My cup runneth over. Is your cup running over? And finally, verse 6, he says, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And this is the results of those who are letting Jesus be their shepherd. Search me, O Lord, know my heart. see if there be any wicked way in me. Goodness and mercy will follow us every day of our lives. Abundant life. And our hope is secure, guys. He says, Jesus is coming. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Never forget. Look up. Our redemption is drawing near. So God help us to be pastors. The pastors that you said you would give in the last days, Lord. You said that you would send shepherds. Giving pastors according to my heart in Jeremiah 3:15. Which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding that we might devote our lives to the flock. Devote our hearts to the Lord, to the great shepherd, that he can continue to do his work in us and through us. One last thing. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They have ears to hear. And they follow me. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Are you lacking power in your life? Are you lacking joy in your life? You've got a bad attitude about some things. Are you throwing spears when you should be just letting them slide, you know? And Saul was good at throwing, and David never threw them back. David had a heart to let the spears down. Do you lack grace and love and Christ likeness in your life? Then Jesus says, you come unto me, you drink of me, and out of your innermost being will flow rivers, torrents of living water. I'm going to ask the group to come out, and I think this would be a good time to, for those of you guys that really know, and you girls that you know, that the power of God's Spirit has either leaked out and you need an infilling, or you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This would be a great time for us just to wait on the Lord, and then as the Lord leads in your life and in your heart, and you want to just present your heart to the Lord and let the Lord show himself strong towards you, that you would just stand, and those around you that have been filled with the Spirit will just lay hands on you and pray for you. So let's let this be a time of infilling, overflowing, receiving God's power for our lives to be his witnesses.
This is the end of side two and the end of this message. If you'd like further information, tapes, or our free catalog, contact Chapel Tapes. The address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Or you may reach us by our toll-free number, 1-800-272-WORD. That's 1-800-272-WORD.